Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, here to talk about your retirement planning. Joining us, as always, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much, Ron. On February 24th, Thursday, 2022, and joining us, Heidi Thompson. Welcome, Heidi.
Good morning.
Our own managing director and retirement income certified professional. Great to have you here with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Exactly. It's sunny outside. It's great.
It is gorgeous. It was 9 degrees out for the walk this morning.
Yes, a little chilly.
But what was most fun about that walk, I took my flashlight with me, as I do each time, because it's dark, usually about 6:45. And you know what? It really wasn't that dark at all. Uh-huh. The sun continues its northerly course, and it's getting bright, rather light, earlier.
About 2 more weeks until we set the clocks forward.
Forward?
Yeah.
We'll take it, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, joining us today is Mr. Bob Simpson, the managing, or rather district manager of the local Social Security Traverse City office. Bob Simpson, welcome.
Thank you for joining us. It's great to be here. You guys are a great group.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Yes, yes. Excellent.
Back at you. Well, it's a pleasure to have Bob. We were going through the material yesterday, practicing, if you will, going through the questions that we had and making certain that we were pretty much all on the same page. And reflecting on that and Bob's passion for helping people came through loud and strong, for helping people understand their Social Security benefits, helping them understand, here's what you can do. Here's what perhaps you can't do. Here's what you can do with what there is. Here's how you might, and you can't talk about managing it, but making certain that you are clear as much as possible of what your benefits are and, you know, what your spouse's benefits are in lots of different family situations, all encompassing. So thank you, Bob, for joining us. We're excited to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, that's why we do this. We like to go out and talk to the folks and let them know what the Social Security benefits are, what they're entitled to. That's why we love doing shows like this.
Yes, indeed. Love having you. Before we get, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, always a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Before we go to the Social Security, can I ask you one question from a texter?
Yeah, sure.
About the, where it says, for Dennis Prout and team, is it good to keep contributing to your 401k in times of market volatility, such as we're going into,
we could
be going into Russia. I don't think the U.S. will be. But in times of volatility, I presume you would be gathering your shares at a lower price. So does one back off in these volatile times, or what do you say about that?
Full disclosure on that. As you dollar cost average in, which is putting monthly dollars into your accounts, you may want to reallocate to make certain that you actually have some more market exposure to those accounts that you're adding every month to, if you will. So when you're adding every month, you may want to consider having some more market exposure, number one. Number two, remember, the only way that dollar cost averaging works is if you continue investing through that cycle. So you have to know thyself, if you will. The only way that that's going to work is if you've invested as the market has gone down and then on up as the market has recovered. So the key, invest through the cycle. That's the disclosure.
That consistent contribution is important. And it is hard because when you get a statement and you see that you've lost more money than you contributed that month, it feels self-defeating. But the key to this is to keep up that discipline of contributing over time, because eventually the result will come out at the end.
And that is a great question, because it goes exactly against what the common thought might be. That was a question I had yesterday from a client. Well, should I continue investing, you know, when this thing is going down? Yes, by all means. If you invest through that cycle, it can be the very best time to invest.
Buy low, sell high,
exactly.
Right?
Indeed. So sometimes the simple things that often don't possibly make sense can make the most sense for you financially. All right. With that, by the way, speaking of Ukraine, all good thoughts toward Ukrainians, huh? They're trying to preserve what freedom they have there in their country. And man, I wish them well, every last one, in defending their country against their attackers. Amen to that, right?
Indeed.
My gosh. All right. So, Bob, Social Security. What are options for Social Security income? We're going to dive right into the questions here. What are options for Social Security income for parents of children with disabilities?
It's a great question, and I'm going to answer that by letting you know what we do at Social Security. When you file for benefits and you interact with us, we ask a lot of personal questions. You're protected by the Privacy Act. We're not going to go blab it out to Ron and say, hey, Ron, so-and-so, is doing this. And we're not going to do that. You're protected. It's a private conversation. And the reason it's private is because we ask those a lot of personal questions. We ask you your age. We ask you marriage information. And one of those questions is, do you have any disabled children under age 19 or any children under age 19 or any disabled children? Because what will happen is a disabled child before age 22, if they're disabled before age 22, they can draw a Social Security disability benefit off their parent's record when their parent is receiving retirement benefits.
So if the parent is receiving retirement benefits and they have a disabled child, they can get half of their full retirement or FRA benefit. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So let's just keep it simple. Let's hear. Let's say the parent is collecting $2,000 a month at full retirement age. In essence, what you're saying is 75% of the $2,000 a month.
50% for life benefit.
50%
So the parent will get $2,000 and the disabled child will get $1,000.
All right. You said 50%. Just making certain that I'm keeping track of this.
75% if the parent passes away. Correct.
That is correct.
So there is a 75 in there.
Is there guidance on what disabled is?
Oh, yes.
Definitions
Definitely. They have to meet the criteria for a disabled person. That can be a mental disability or a physical disability. So, we'll take that all into account, and the person needs to apply for that. We have to have medical evidence to show that the person is disabled.
All right. Okay. What if the child isn't disabled and you've got somebody who's older? With a minor child, are there any benefits for that person?
Yes, there are. The child is eligible for benefits until they are 18. If they're 18 and still in high school, they'll get it until they graduate from high school or reach age 19.
Now, what age does the parent have to be to collect that sort of a benefit?
Okay, the parent would have to be, if they're caring for the child and the child is under age 16, okay, like in a survivor case, then the parent can receive benefit until the child turns 16. Then the parent would stop and the child would keep going until they're 18.
Okay. Does that mean that the parent is collecting at that point?
Yeah, the parent would be able to collect.
The parent has to be collecting in order to receive that sort of a benefit for a child.
Correct.
All right. Now, let's say a parent is 72 years old, as an example, and they've got a minor child still at home that they are overseeing.
Yes.
Do we necessarily have to be just one parent in the home, or can it be two parents?
One person, or we have two. We could have a combined family max where we'd put them both together. But the child can receive benefits until they're 18.
Fantastic. So any parents who are collecting a Social Security benefit mm-hmm. with a minor child, in essence.
The child should be drawing benefits as well. And that's one of those questions we ask. We say, do you have any young kids?
Right.
Because we want to get them on the record. We want to protect the children.
So almost let's makes take you it. Want to think of having children later in life, right, Ron?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. People ask me.
No, not yeah. so much. Well, okay.
Yeah. People will ask me, well, how do I increase my Social Security? I said, well, you know, you can continue working or start having more kids.
Have more kids.
Wow.
So let's go a little deeper, though. Let's talk about grandparents
yes.
who maybe are taking care of grandchildren.
Right.
What are the rules with that, and are there any benefits?
Yeah, the rules with that are is let's say they're taking care of the grandkids. If they adopt the grandkids, mm-hmm. then they can the grandkids can receive benefits off the grandparents' record, but they have to adopt them. Okay.
Okay,
it's just not taking care of them during the week or whatever,
right.
like a lot of grandparents do. But if, like, the parents out of the picture and the grandchildren are staying and, you know, adopted by the grandparents, then the children can receive the benefit.
That wow, can be so helpful, too, for people
yeah.
in retirement who maybe weren't expecting to have those additional costs.
Right.
Helps offset that.
What we want people to do is if you have that situation, call us.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call and say, hey, my grandson or my granddaughter's, you know, something bad happened to the parents and they're staying with us. Yeah, we'll be more than happy to go through the rules and regulations with them to see if they're eligible or not.
Now, Social Security has an awesome website, ssa.gov.
Right. Make sure it's .gov.
G-O-V.
Yes.
All right. Now, what number would they call to call Social Security?
Yeah. Well, we have a national 800 number. It's 1-800-772-1213. And that number is available from 8 in the morning to 7 at night. Okay. And we have trained people that will answer the questions, and there it's a computer nationwide. Now, if they need to talk to a local office, and sometimes people, you know, I prefer to talk to my local office. We want people to do, they can go to our website, and there's a locate your local office button down there. You can do that. Or you can Google it. Hey, what's my local Social Security office number? And I know your listening audience is huge. I mean, it's all over Michigan, UP and everything. And
it's gimungous,
Ron.
It is.
I've listened to you guys in Grand Rapids and south of Grand Rapids, so I know it's huge.
It's wild. Yeah, I think we've been coming up from Chicago before.
Yeah.
You're coming along the bay, if you will, or the coast
right.
Through 196 and all that, and there's WTCM.
So if you're down in Grand Rapids, you know, Google, hey, Grand Rapids Social Security Office, and then you'll get the local number, and you can call them, and they'll be able to help you. And I've got my folks in Traverse City. There's two people on the phone at all times.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
So you guys are staying busy, and we did talk somewhat about wondering when you'd be open again to where you can see people, and it's looking like it
right.
might start
it's coming
somewhat.
It's coming. Right now, we're still under the evacuation orders where the staff was, hey, go home and telework, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just have a limited number of people in the office. And what happened is those orders are expiring. So on March 30th, they're saying, okay, bring the staff back. We're not opening the doors yet, okay? We're bringing the staff back, and we want to do it safely, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With the COVID stuff, we have the COVID protocols. We're following those, and so that's where we're at. So what we want you to do is don't wait. Oh, my gosh, I want to go in and talk to Bob. Do not wait. Call us. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to lose any benefit. Contact us, and we've been doing this for 2 years. So we have been helping the public.
You have a system.
We have a system, but we want to transition here and make sure everybody's safe.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Bob. So how do you know if you're getting the right benefits? The right benefits.
That's a good question. How are you getting the right benefit? Like I mentioned earlier, we ask a lot of personal questions. Okay. And as an interviewer, we go through our little checklist of, okay, can they get retirement benefits? Can they get disability? How about survivor benefits? Do they have any children? Each interviewer is doing that, and they're going through, hey, what can this person be entitled to? And we give them their choices. We don't make decisions for them. We tell them what their choices are. And you know, that's why they need to talk to other folks, talk to friends, talk to their advisors and say, hey, what should I do? We're not going to advise them. We're going to tell them what they're eligible for. But then how do they know whether it's the right benefit or not? Well, they talk to folks like Heidi and Dennis and figure out a plan. And if things change, they can always call us. Give us a call and say, hey, my circumstances have changed. Am I getting the right benefit? Am I getting the most amount of money that I can?
And that's such a good point, Bob, because our planning intersects with Social Security so many times. And it's really part of somebody's financial plan and what we're trying to craft to make sure people have the income that they need. Like Bob was saying, they give you the facts, they do the math, they can give you the number, and maybe whether you should start now or later or those kinds of questions, you want to get both perspectives so that you can get the most efficient use of that benefit.
That is so true. And, you know, how do you get the facts? The best way to do it, folks, is to get a My Social Security account. And when you get a My Social Security account, you can go in and get your benefit statement. That'll show you, it'll give you an estimate and say, your age 62, this is what your benefit would be, your full retirement age. Or if you waited till 70, remember you get 8% return for every year you wait. Mm. At age 70, it can be a really large benefit. But those are the facts on your record, and it's your record, only yours.
Yeah, we talked about that. Sorry, Ron, go ahead. You've got a question.
Big picture question just was texted in there, but it says, they say Social Security will run out of funds in 2028. Then what do we do when we're putting so many new retirees on Social Security?
Okay, well, we're talking about funding and solvency of Social Security. When you are working, you are paying Social Security tax. Okay, you're paying a lot of money. We know it's a lot of money. You're paying for insurance. Okay, you're paying for insurance for retirement, survivor, and disability. What happens? That money goes to a trust fund, okay? Congress, they borrow against the trust funds. They do their thing, okay? But there is a trust fund, and, you know, we look at it through accountant's eyes, say, is the money there? What's going to happen? About 2032, 2033, those trust funds will be depleted.
Under current estimates.
Correct. Okay, correct. Great. And those change every year. And our board, our Social Security trustees, they do the analysis, and every year they come out with a report and says, okay, it's good till 2033, 2034, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's based on the economy, how it goes up and down. And I used to work in Washington. I did a stint in Washington, D.C. for a little while, and we have folks there that do analysis of what if we tweaked things? What if we changed the tax rate? What if we changed the eligibility criteria? What if we did that? What would the trust funds look like? So they're doing it, and it's a political world. It's a political situation. And if you have an opinion, write your congressman. Write your congressperson and say, hey, this is what I think we need to do.
Yeah. In terms of increasing the benefit span, if you will, to keep those trust funds mm-hmm. intact and, in essence, gain a lot more confidence for those who are younger by them knowing that this fund is going to be there
right.
When I retire in 35 years or
yes.
45 years or whatever
yeah.
that is.
Yeah.
I think that could be an incredible point for those who are trying to add some responsibility to the trust fund issues.
I agree wholeheartedly. Social Security is so popular. Yeah. 1 in 6 people get a check from Social Security nationwide.
Yeah.
In Leelanau County, 1 in 4 people get a check from our office. So it's a pretty popular program. So it's not going to go away.
Right.
Do we have issues? Yeah, we do. We need to fix them.
Right. And it'll have to be addressed at some point. It's just mm-hmm. when will that happen?
I'm going to guess last minute. That's my vote.
Yeah. It'll be at the last minute.
We Americans do that, don't we? We wait till the crisis and, I guess we should do something.
The benefits that I've seen that are available just from the income coming in are going to be about 75% or so.
Right.
Probably the government will have to make that up in some way. But yep. It'd certainly be nice if they were working on it pre, if you will. All right?
That would make sense.
It would. All right. So we've got a lot to talk about with Social Security here. How long should people, doesn't everybody want to know this, how long should people or a person wait to collect their Social Security benefits, Bob?
Wow, great question. And, you know, people always ask me that. When's the right time? When should I do that? Well, there's a couple factors involved. One is, you know, how long are you going to live?
Well, that's a difficult one to answer.
That's tough. That one's really tough. So what you need to do is get the facts and figure out what your benefit's going to be at what different point. And I mentioned earlier that your benefit goes up 8% a year. That's one heck of a return.
Each year that you wait, it goes up by 8% at least. Yeah. And any cost of living increases are added onto that as well.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it keeps going up.
So there's a third component before we get into that, too. You may have some of those earlier years drop off if you're still working because your benefit is based on how many years?
Your highest 35 years.
Your highest 35 years.
Yes. So now most people's highest years are when they go to retire. That's usually when their highest years
are. You're at the top of your career usually.
You're at the top. So what'll happen is they'll throw those low years out. Like, you know, I started working in the 80s, and so it's throwing those years out for me. As I keep working, paying my tax, it throws those years out. So what'll happen is my benefit will keep going up. So people ask me, they'll retire, and they'll keep working, and they'll say, do I have to pay the Social Security tax? And yes, you do.
Yes.
The two certainties in life are death and taxes. So you always have to pay your taxes. So what benefit are you getting? Well, you're paying the tax, and we're throwing out those low years and replacing them with the high ones. So your benefit's going to keep going up, even though you could be drawing Social Security benefit. So when you're working, if you're over your full retirement age, you can work and continue to receive your Social Security benefit. There's no penalty.
Well, that's
but it's
good.
Called personal responsibility. You need to know this stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. I just wanted to, because Bob had mentioned, if you're over full retirement age, you can get your benefits and keep working.
Right.
But if you take Social Security before your full retirement age, there's some restrictions on that, are there not?
Yes, they're what we call a earnings test. You can only earn so much money if you're drawing your Social Security benefits. Now, for that, if you are under your full retirement age for this year, 2022, you can earn $19,560 per year. If you earn over that, we withhold $1 for every $2 you go over for benefits.
That's pretty steep.
Yeah, pretty steep. But if you're working part-time, you're making $10,000 a year, you can receive your Social Security benefit.
So let's say you earned $10,000 over that $19,000 amount, and you're collecting Social Security, and you're under the age of full retirement age.
Yep.
That means that $5,000 of your Social Security benefits would be cut off.
That's correct.
That's not a good deal.
That's not. That's not.
So you really want to pay attention to that. Yeah. If you gain a career, you decided to collect Social Security, let's say, at age 63.
Yeah.
And then you get the call. John, we'd like you to come and work for us. We're going to pay you a whole lot of money, you know, whatever it is, for part-time because, you know, you have all this experience.
Right. And we want John to continue working if John wants to, but he needs to contact us and say, hey, I'm starting to work again, and put a new work estimate in. And what we'll do is we're going to stop his check. Okay, because we don't want him to be overpaid. He doesn't want to be overpaid because of those rules.
Yeah, and if he is overpaid, then he's going to have to pay back that benefit to SocialSecurity.gov.
Right. That's correct. If he tells us in advance, we stop the checks. So every year, you need to look, you know, now's a great time to do it before taxes and say, okay, how much am I going to earn for the year? And if he's going to earn $10,000 over, he better contact us now so we can stop those checks so he doesn't get overpaid.
Yeah, that's real to life, too. We have so many clients that stop work, and then they get that call because obviously that experience is worth something out there in the world of work. Yeah. And man, they get working again, and they're hoofing it, if you will, and they need to take a look at that Social Security benefit if they're already collecting.
That's correct.
Get that thing stopped.
Yeah.
And Dennis, I would also say we see a lot of clients who retire and then their hobby becomes a new profession for them because they're so excited and they have a lot of energy and this great interest. So in that case too, you know, if you start to make money at that hobby, you want to make sure you keep track of that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Keep track and keep Social Security informed.
How did you know, Heidi? I had that conversation yesterday with a client.
Did you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. They got a business that they're really going to be they're putting a lot of effort into it. I'll just put it that way. And that income that they're getting could count against if they're collecting their Social Security benefits before age full retirement age, which is about age 66 and how many months right now?
66 and 5 months or so.
66 and a half.
It all depends on when your date of birth. You know, most people in the listening audience, it's 67 and above.
Right. Because if you're born after like 1960, it's 67.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Correct, 67.
A couple of quick questions from the text line.
Yes.
You bet.
For Bob Simpson, Social Security Office, Traverse City. I'll be 66 in August. I still work full-time. Make between $50,000 and $60,000 a year. Will I be penalized if I start withdrawing Social Security or when I get my full payment?
Okay, it depends. It depends on your full retirement age. If you're full retirement age, you can collect benefits and still work. No penalty at all.
You can make as much as you want.
As much as you want. Earned income. Yeah, earned income, whatever you want to. If you're the year that you're your full retirement age, you do have a limit on what you can earn for the year that you're full retirement age.
Isn't it one for three?
It's one for three. And, you just need to make sure that you let us know and plan accordingly. That's what you need to do.
Well, in almost every event, this particular gentleman may want to stop his benefits just to make certain that he keeps those penalties at bay. But he's going to get the credit if he's not collecting anyway.
Right, right.
And if there's any longevity. Now, it's not just about him in this particular case. What if his wife, if he is married, is going to collect on his benefit? Does she get an increase or any help from the fact that, in this case, he waited to collect his benefit? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. The higher his benefit is the higher the widow's benefit would be.
If he passes away early, obviously. Yeah. We're talking widow.
Right,
all right, right. So she would get an increased benefit if he decides to wait.
Correct.
In essence, it's a death benefit if he should decide to wait on his own.
It's an insurance policy, a life insurance policy is what it is for the widow.
Now, obviously, too, it depends on their own income needs. They got to look at their whole situation, but this can play a role. Now, what if she's not going to collect on his benefit? What if she's collecting on her own in this case? Could it make any difference for her still?
Yes, it possibly can. As a widow or widower, you have an option of filing on your own retirement benefit, and then you can switch to your spouse's benefit or vice versa. That's one of the options that you have as a widow. And what you'd want to do is you would want to take the lower one first and then switch over to the higher as you get older. So you have those options, and it really is a great thing.
Okay. Well, you know, this is so interesting to me because it just shows how everybody's individual story is different. And because we have all these variables and these different rules, you really don't want to just get to 62 and automatically go on Social Security. You really want to think about it. You want to look at it from an investment in your future income, but also what benefits are available or what are you going to leave to a spouse? Maybe you need to think about that. There's so many things, and it can't be just one standard answer.
That is very true. There is not one standard answer. Everybody's different. And, you know, I've had people saying, you know, hey, I've worked next to John the whole time, and his benefit is this much. And it was like, hey, how does that work? Well, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. Great point, Heidi.
Would have depended on when he started working. Possibly the gentleman he's working next to has another 5 years of Social Security earnings. Now, you mentioned yesterday when we were sitting together talking this over that you'd gotten a cryptic note, if you would, from a woman who came in, I think. Could you tell us that story?
I sure will. I sure will. When I was a claims representative many years ago, I was taking a claim from a woman, and she came into the office, and she was what we call an automatic conversion. And what that meant was that her widow's benefit, her spouse's benefit, would automatically convert to a widow's benefit when her husband died.
So because his benefit was greater than
his
her
was
own
higher.
In that case.
Yes, right. His was higher, and you know, straightforward. Boom, shoot. It would come right over to a widow's benefit, no problem. Well, she came in and she says, "Hey, Bob, I need to talk to you. My husband, who just died, he gave me a note." And she pulled it out of her pocket. And the note said, "If I die, go in and file on your first husband's record. Go, and this is his Social Security number." So I went, I pulled up his record, and by golly, she could get more money off the first husband's record. And what a gentleman. What a gentleman that
looking out for her.
He was looking out for her. Yeah. And, you know, there is no way we would have known had that husband had not written that note. There's no way we would have known. She wouldn't have known.
Right.
So it pays to check and, you know, always ask.
Yeah.
Always ask.
So as long as she, what would be the requirements for her to collect on a previous spouse's benefit? What would be, whether it's, is this the same in divorce and death?
No, that was my question.
It's not different with divorce. You have to be married more than 10 years.
So married to that individual, whether it's divorce or death, for more than 10 years?
No. Divorced spouse can draw on their divorced spouse's record only if they've been married more than 10 years.
Married more than 10 years,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, that's the divorce. If, let's say you get married and your spouse dies in 2 years, you're still a widow or widower. You can still go back and collect on that person's record.
So there's no time limit for a widower or widow, if you will, but there is a time limit for a divorcee.
Right.
All right, gotcha.
10 years, right. You got to be married more than 10.
So if you're on year 9,
yeah,
you should wait that extra
year. Hold it out. Just hold out, guys. Hold out, folks. One more year. You can do it. You can.
Heidi.
Let's go to the... a few questions for Bob Simpson on the text line, but on the phone line we have from Roscommon today, Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have a question about Medicare. I had to take it when I turned 65. And prior to that, we have health insurance. My wife has health insurance through the county. And last year, I had, I didn't know it, but I was in perfect health, I thought, until I took a stress test. And next thing I know, I'm in the hospital getting a triple bypass. And everybody's going to be, "You don't have Part B, you don't have Part B." And I said, "Well, we have health insurance through my wife." So, and I'm wondering, do I need Part B or am I covered through my wife's benefit?
Okay, your wife is probably covered under a group health care plan based on current work. Now, she's still working, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. If she's covered under a group health care plan based on current work, and it's a large employer, meaning more than 20 employees, and if she's working for the county, that's a large employer, the insurance you have through her, that's the primary coverage, okay? And then what you would do is submit your bills to them, and what they don't cover, then you would submit to Medicare. Okay, so you don't have to, you have Part A right now, and you probably don't have Part B. You would know you'd be paying $170, at least $170 a month for Medicare Part B. But if you're covered under a group health care plan based on current work, you don't have to have it. And that's because your insurance is through your wife is primary. Now, if you're, when your wife goes to retire, it reverses. Medicare becomes your primary, and at that point, you need to sign up for Part B, and you would do it when she goes to retire, and you would do it at that point.
Oh, so I've got to call everybody back, because I was telling everybody that that Medicare was my primary now because I'm 65 plus. I was thinking they'd taken over my health care, and then priority would be my my secondary. But no, it's the other way around.
It's the other way around if it's based on current employment.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good to check,
Kevin. Definitely want to call your provider, your insurance provider, and make sure that you know what coverage you have and what to tell the different medical facilities.
All right. A few phone calls for Kevin to make today.
Yeah, exactly. But there's one point, too. Doesn't Kevin need to make certain that Medicare knows that he's covered under her plan as well? Is there some sort of a notification?
Yeah, the insurance companies work that out, and they do know, yes.
So Medicare knows that he's covered?
Yes.
All right, already. So he doesn't necessarily need to notify Medicare.
That's correct.
All right.
All right, let's see if we can zip through a few, hopefully, easy questions. My wife started drawing Social Security at 62. She is now full retirement age, but I still work. Do we still have to pay taxes on her Social Security now?
She's
collecting, he's working.
Yep. The answer to that question is probably. And the reason I say it's probably, it all depends on what your tax rate is, what all your income is. So Social Security is taxable, up to a certain percent.
Let me insert this first here, Bob.
Yeah.
There are two different things we're talking about. We're talking about whether her benefits are going to get cut as a result of his work, number one, and or if their total, if her benefit is going to be taxed because of their overall tax rate.
Right.
So talk about both of those, if you would, all right?
Yeah, her benefit is we're paying her based on age 62, and we're paying her that benefit. And her benefit would stop from Social Security only if she goes to work. Now, if he's working, so that's not going to have any effect at all on what Social Security she's going to receive.
Based on her
benefit.
It's based on
her benefit. So her benefit is based on her work and her income,
whether
it's outside of work, or outside of retirement.
Yeah. Yes. So if she's not working or working very little under the allowable limit, she'll keep receiving her Social Security benefit. But he's absolutely right to look at the taxes because the Social Security could be taxable.
Yeah. Up to 85% of your Social Security benefits can be subject to tax. Up to 85%
of
those benefits.
Income.
Based on your income.
Income. Yeah.
And as we've talked about on the show before, income definition is different for the different agencies. So you have for the different benefits. So you have to know what income and what's included in it.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty complicated.
It is.
Here's a question that says, my full retirement age will be in July of this year. Can you provide an example of how any earned income is prorated for 2022 if I decide to earn again?
Provide example how any earned income.
Any earned income is prorated for 2022. Let's see. My full retirement.
Well, this is an
July.
Example. Let's just say he started working in July after his full retirement age. Is there any cut in his benefit because it's the year in which he turned? No.
After his full retirement age, he can earn whatever he wants to.
There you
He's
go.
Free.
Free He's
as a bird.
Free.
But let's
free.
Say then, let's move back to May of this year. Let's say he picks up that job in May.
Yeah.
And he's collecting Social Security benefits.
Right.
He has to be collecting.
Right.
And it's just before his full retirement age.
Yeah. It all depends on how much he earns. The odds are he's probably going to still be okay if he hasn't been working all year. So he does have income limits, okay?
Right.
Up until the full retirement age.
So that's that bottom number there, that $51,960 for 2022.
Correct. So from January to July, he can earn $51,000.
$51,960 to be exact.
Almost $52,000.
Pretty fair amount. Yeah.
A lot of money.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But after July, there's no limit.
Yeah.
He can earn a couple million, still get your Social Security.
What
so
a deal.
So take an extra month of vacation before you start that new job.
Yeah.
Darling, you always knew I was waiting during that $2 million, and now I can do that after my full retirement age. Here we go.
You can do it.
Somebody wanted to know, I don't know this commercial, but someone said, can you explain all those advertisements regarding check your zip code to see if you're entitled to more benefits? Does that ring a bell, or zip code have anything to do with anything?
Yeah, they're talking about the Medicare stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Medicare stuff.
So that's your Medicare premium that you might be subject to.
Right.
And that's all they're referencing is your Medicare premium. Isn't that automatic from Social Security? Aren't they automatically deducting that based on where you're located then?
Right. Well, it's based on how much you paid in Social Security, and you'll get your premium is your Medicare premium. Mm-hmm. Usually it's the same unless you make more money. Then you're going to pay a higher Medicare premium.
So the Medicare premium isn't based on zip code.
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Benefits under those Advantage plans that I think they're getting at. Because based on your zip code, you could get, you know, like transportation or something.
That makes more sense.
Yes. I think this question has to do with the widower. It says, does the transfer work the same for railroad retirement as straight Social Security benefits if one were to pass away?
With that, I would encourage folks to talk to the Railroad Board.
Okay.
And they're like a sister organization to Social Security. They should contact the Railroad Board.
Now, is that online, the Railroad Board?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know their website address?
No, I don't. But I do know they're on. And I know they're in Detroit. And you can contact them. And they probably know. And in fact, we have a lot of people who work for the Railroad Board. Huh. Up here, and
really?
And I worked in the Ludington Social Security office, and we had a lot of folks who worked on the steamships, like the Badger and things like that. And over the years, those were owned by the railroad, so those folks are covered on the railroad benefits, not Social Security.
So that's
benefits.
Different than Social
it's
Security.
It's a different program. It's a different program.
Exactly. So Google the Railroad Board if you've specifically covered under them and give them a ring in that case.
Yes.
All right.
Somebody here says, I'm a 61-year-old man. My wife is 7 years younger than me. She's not worked most of her life. I get paid through my corporation. Should I shift income from me to my wife at this point to boost her Social Security benefits? So this guy must be the owner, if you will, of the corporation.
Right.
And can he shift the income that's coming into her instead of him? Would that help boost her Social Security benefits?
Well, with Social Security, we take the highest 35 years.
What if you never worked, though? Like, what if you...
Well, what's going to happen with this gentleman, when he goes to file, we're going to say, hey, are you married? And he'll say, yeah, I'm married. And his wife is going to be eligible for a spousal benefit when she's 62.
Based on his work.
Right. We're going to look at her work as well. So if she's worked 10 years, then she's going to have her own retirement, plus probably extra on his.
So then you get the one that's higher, correct?
Well, you would get both, but you can only get up to a certain amount as a spousal benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's key. Now, what's interesting is I'm thinking they could simply look up what her benefit is on SSA.gov.
Yes.
And they could theoretically punch in, you know, if her income's going to increase, what kind of difference in benefit would it mean then for her full retirement age or at age all the way up to age 70, correct?
Exactly.
You can enter those.
Yeah, you can.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And one thing I would just want to caution him, he needs to talk to his tax professional to make sure, you know, just don't say, hey, my wife is doing the work. Well, you know, is she doing the work? Yeah. I mean, I don't want you to get into tax trouble.
Right. Okay? You may have some other authorities that get involved there if you're...
We don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So be sure what you're doing.
One more quick question on the phone. I think we have time for that. Daryl in Acme, Michigan. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning. Thanks for having a good guest on this morning, and I appreciate the show. Question I have is the Social Security office open for drop-in? Do I have to make an appointment? Do I have to do it online? I've got a couple things I want to do.
Okay. Daryl, what you can do, we do have a Dropbox, so if there's something you need to drop off to us, that's from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, you can do a Dropbox. If you need to talk to us and say, you know, that you have an urgent matter, you can call us, give us a call, and if you absolutely have to come in, what people would need to come in is if we have to do a face-to-face interview with you, and there are some circumstances where we would need to do that. But for most people, you know, we could do it over the phone. We'll talk to you. If there's a document you need to hand to submit, you can do that at the Dropbox.
So go to ssa.gov and look up your local Social Security office.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, thank you, Daryl.
Good luck with it.
And that's going to get us pretty close to a break and news.
I can't believe we're through this already. Bob, thank you once again.
We're just getting started.
Great, we are.
That's right.
Wow, great conversation, great information. Thank you to you and Social Security for allowing you to come in.
Yeah, thanks. All right. Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
Thanks, Bob. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.